live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
If you like the Young Turks podcast, I think you'll love a lot of the podcasts on the TYT network. Old School, it's one of my favorites, one of the favorites for a lot of the listeners. Please check that out. Subscribe, share it. That makes a big difference, and give it a 5-star rating. Thank you. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. A whole new week ahead, everybody. Nothing but fun for everyone, except for everyone who's furloughed by the federal government and anyone affected by the disastrous policies of the Trump administration.
So all
fine.
Of us.
Yeah, it won't be a good week. But you see my point, right?
We'll adjust.
Yeah. So on today's show, Ocasio-Cortez was attacked so fervently by so many different people, we will not be able to track all of them. Only a couple. Okay, well, one that is hilarious from a Republican. And later in the program, you're gonna be shocked to find out Bernie Sanders is attacked, and we will defend him again. It's his hometown paper, and they might have had the most absurd op-ed of all of them, right? And their charges against them are both maddening and hilarious at the same time. I mean, they're so blinded by their bias. The establishment bias reeks through almost everything that the media does. So, but we'll break that down for you guys, and there'll be plenty of critiques of Mr. Trump as well, Senor Trump. Okay, all right, so lots to get to, let's do it.
All right. Prosecutors in Texas have identified two suspects in the drive-by shooting of a 7-year-old Jasmine Barnes. She unfortunately did not survive the shooting, and there was a huge question as to what the motive was, who the suspect was. Turns out that there are two suspects, and even though the family believed that they had witnessed a white man as the suspect, and there were also four other witnesses who had said the same thing, prosecutors said that that was not the actual suspect, it was a case of mistaken identity. So who are the suspects? Well, according to the prosecutors, one of those suspects is Eric Black Jr. There he is, arrested, and he does not match the witness photo at all. So let's look at the witness illustration of what the alleged suspect looked like. And it's a side by side of that photo, or that drawing, I should say, with Eric Black Jr. Okay, so there it is.
No, it is. None of that matters.
Yeah.
The original guy that they had in the red trunk, it was just wrong. It wasn't him. Mm-hmm. So let me explain that in greater detail and then tell you who broke the case. Well, I'll tell you that right now. It was Sean King. So I'll give you the details on that in a second as well. So first of all, as Anna pointed out, everybody originally thinks it's the white guy in his 40s in the red truck. Why? The family, when they recovered for half a second from the shooting and looked up, saw the red truck going away, and they thought it was him. And they weren't alone. As Anna pointed out, four other witnesses said it was the white guy in the red truck. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how did they find out that it wasn't? Because in fact, one of the witnesses tailed the guy in the red truck. I mean, that's how positive the other people on the road were that it was the guy in the red truck. Now, the way that they got to the truth was Sean King, who was an activist, put out a reward to find the guy who did it. It started at $35,000, then it went to $50,000, then it went to $100,000, and finally they got a tip. And it went to Sean King, and then Sean King brought it to the police. Turns out it wasn't the guy in the red truck at all. It was a different car, and everybody was so shaken by what happened, they didn't realize which car it was. Now, how do they know that it was Eric Black Jr. and his, he's the driver and the guy who actually did the shooting? Well, because Eric Black Jr. has not only confessed it, but said, yeah, I didn't do the shooting. The guy next to me did the shooting. And by the way, you could find the gun in my apartment, and I give you permission to search the apartment. They went and searched the apartment, and they found the gun that matches the shell casings. It's definitely Eric Black Jr. As far as we can tell, they got to go through trial, of course, etc. So it was, and it turns out they had the wrong car. They thought they were shooting at a rival gang or something along those lines, and they shot into the wrong car. By the way, a good reason not to shoot into random cars, okay, or into any cars. So I think Sean King should deserve tremendous credit for this story, because if it wasn't for his offers of figuring it out who the culprits were, they might not have ever gotten that tip. Okay, now a lot of the right wing say, oh, Sean King has an agenda. Well, it's not wrong to have an agenda. It's wrong to skew the facts to fit your agenda. And Sean did not do that. Now, we'll get to his agenda in a second. But when he got the information that it was two black guys who did it instead of a white guy, he turned into the cops and they got the real guys who did it.
Right.
Isn't that how it's supposed to work? I think the entire country, let alone the left wing, the right wing, etc., should be thanking Sean King for solving the case. Certainly the family is. The family's like, look, all we cared about was getting justice, and it turns out these guys did it. We fought, we got the real guys who did it. Justice, thank you.
So the second suspect has been identified by prosecutors as Larry Woodruff, and that is the individual who allegedly fired the gun. And so it's interesting because the sheriff's office didn't want to name him, but prosecutors have put his information out there. Investigators are still looking for the driver of the red pickup truck reported at the scene. They don't believe that the driver, described as a white man in his 40s, or the truck were involved in the shooting, despite previous reports suggesting that racism had played a role in Jasmine's death.
So, and by the way, all credit to also everybody that contributed to that fund, including Houston Texans star DeAndre Hopkins, who gave his playoff check there's two different funds. DeAndre Hopkins gave to the GoFundMe fund to fund a funeral for the family, because the family does not have a lot of money, and obviously they were grief stricken, etc. So wonderful job by all those people to arrive at the right answer. In fact, I want to quote the family lawyer. He said they wanted the right person to be convicted, not a white person. Right? Of course, their 7-year-old daughter was shot. Of course, they want to find out who the right person was. So now, as to the alleged Sean King agenda, some people say, well, look, Sean doesn't look into every murder in the country. He only looks into these cases where it looks like a white racist might have shot an African American. Yeah, that's right. It's not his job to be the cop for the whole country. Nobody elected him to do that. It's like saying, oh, I guess you only care about the Klan murders of black people, but you don't care about other murders. No, I care about other murders, but yeah, I'm gonna chase down the Klan murders. That's my agenda. And if you lived back then, that would have been a great agenda. I wish everybody had that agenda back then.
Okay, I mean, we can play that game when it comes to anything. For all the idiots out there who pretend like they care about the Armenian genocide, right, which we've talked about on the show on a regular basis and have acknowledged it on a regular basis. You guys care about the genocide of the Rohingya Muslims? Have you guys been going off on that? You care about what's happening to the Yemeni children right now? The tens of thousands of them who have already died and the millions of them who could lose their lives in coming months because of the famine there? Do they care about that? No, they don't. So,
and unlike Sean, you do not stick to the truth.
Exactly.
And you don't care about justice. It's just a political trick or a game for you guys. Sean instead found the real culprit and helped to bring out justice, which is the whole point, okay? And now to our coverage. So some are saying, well, you guys reported that it was a white guy. Yeah, that's because four witnesses in the family reported that it was a white guy. And we had questions as to why he might have done that. And we speculated on that a little bit at the time, but mainly said on the video, hey guys, we don't know why this happened, right? And let the authorities figure it out, okay? So then they're like, oh, are you gonna take down some of the videos about the case? Well, after we discovered that it was not the white guy, he's just a witness. Cops are still looking for him, but only as a witness. That he's not at all a suspect, okay? Well, after we found out, yeah, of course you don't wanna put that up because now we know who the real guys are. Before we found out, well, how the hell would I, who do we know? The cops didn't know, nobody knew, right? So then they're like, okay, then we took down a video that came out afterwards. And they're like, oh, so now you're taking down the videos. But which one is it, guys? Do you want us to take it down or do you want us to leave it up? Make up your mind. Sometimes the news, I know, hold on, I hope you're sitting. Sometimes the news develops and a story that you thought was going in one direction goes in a different direction. You report on the first day, you reported also on the second day. Oh my God.
It's turned into a game. This is the thing. So there's been people that talk about, are you going to take back what you said? Are you going to be? Are you going to no longer believe Sean King, this particular mother in this case, or any other witnesses, minority witnesses that have been victims of violent crime based off of who they are? Because it happens in this country. So first thing you have to admit is we've always had this problem in this country where people will attack someone based off of who they are. A lot of times those people in power are allowed to get away with it. From police officers to just random folks from way back in our history of our country. Guys and people in power have been allowed to do that. It's transitioned now to people who call the cops on a random minority because they're like, I'm gonna call the cops on you because I know they're gonna back me up no matter what the situation is because it's me versus you. So for the people who are asking, hey, are you gonna stop listening to voices like Sean King? You're gonna stop listening to voices like victims who are involved in these situations. You have to ask yourself, why do you want people to stop listening to victims? It's because part of it was because you guys are framing white guys. Which white guy got framed for this crime? Which white guy has been put in prison for murder of black folks that didn't do it? How many black people in this country have been put in prison, killed, executed for rape, murder, assault, anything of white folks that they didn't do it? The situation you can't flip, this is why you can't flip the reverse racism card. Because the history, the factual basis with things that happen in our country is the people in power are given that power over people who are not in power because our society judges people differently. So if there was this framing job done by Sean King and carried out by the Young Turks and everyone else who actually cares about these things being evened out, if you're worried about that, then it's gonna be one of the first times in history that it's happened because it doesn't happen that way. So which white guy got framed? None of them did. So after you discover that, what you realize is what you don't want is people to believe black victims anymore. And the reason you don't want that is because there's this influx of people who are holding people accountable for crimes that we didn't used to hold people accountable for. Mm. They're like, I can't believe these lower class citizens than me keep talking to me like they're on the same level as me. How dare they ask for a white guy who potentially committed the crime to be brought to justice?
So, Jared, excellent point. And what the right wing does all the time is projection. They think like, well, you know, we were terrible to minorities when we were in the majority. So if African Americans, Latinos, et cetera, become the majority in this country, oh my God, what are they gonna do to us? They're gonna lock us up in FEMA camps, et cetera. But there is no such intention, okay? That's only what happened in the past with, unfortunately, the white majority in this country. That doesn't mean that the white majority still believes that. It doesn't mean that racism is solved and the white majority doesn't believe it. There's not a single person in the white majority that thinks anything bad. Okay, that's also preposterous. It's preposterous on all sides. And you think, well, look, hundreds, thousands of African Americans have been framed in this country, as JR alluded to. That's a fact. A lot of them have now been released. Some we found out and proven in hindsight they were framed, right? With DNA evidence, et cetera, it's absolutely proven they were framed. Now you think, oh, they're gonna start framing white people. No, they're not. So here was a perfect opportunity if Sean King wanted to frame a white person. I mean, he had four witnesses, he had them. He could have just buried the tip and then been like, oh yeah, it's still the white guy. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is not his intention. Every right winger in the country should be thanking Sean King and going, my God, I was wrong about him. It turns out he does actually care about justice. It isn't just about race.
Right, well, they would have to care about justice, right? Rather than, you know, denying racial tensions in the country, which I don't really understand. I mean, are you still denying that there was racial tension in the country? I mean, look at who we have as the leader of the United States, who consistently, on a regular basis, will do and say things that are so brazen and racist.
No, that's because there's snowflakes. And look, I know it's all overused, right? All these terms are overused. But they really are, they have this victim ideology in the right wing. Because in their mind, Anna, believe it or not, they really think that they're, yeah, of course there's racial tensions because white people are being oppressed in this country.
Right, yeah.
They genuinely believe that, as if blacks and Latinos and Muslims have all the power in the United States of America, and they're using it to put their boot on the necks of white people. I mean, on what planet? Yeah,
we've talked about it before. There's a rise in right-wing, alt-right, white supremacist violence, terrorism in the country. And our law enforcement has overlooked it because they're like, well, they don't really look like terrorists to me. So that has been allowed to run a lot more rampant. So there's a symptom of a bit of PTSD from folks who have been oppressed and have seen this much violence go on in the country. So when these things are brought up, you go, let's get this wrapped up because we never really did this to this extent before. Our voices are being heard more, and that's a threat to some people. Hey, we go with the same thing. If you didn't do it, what are you worried about? I thought that's what we always tell folks mm-hmm. whenever they get when other folks get arrested, and they say, "Hey, you know what? If you don't want your information sifted through and looked at and listened to, hey, if you didn't do it, what do you have anything to worry about?" Same deal. Yeah. Hey, if it didn't happen, the investigators will find out that who it actually was, which actually happened in this case.
Yeah, and of course, look, it's not just Sean King. Of course, credit to the cops, credit to everyone who is involved in getting to the right suspects. So. All we ever care about was justice. I'm gonna say one last programming note here. For all the people screaming, oh, why haven't you done a video about it yet? The show is 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern every day. Okay, you can tune in live at tyt.com/live, and then you'll see whether we did the story.
Jake,
it's the first story
care.
We did.
They don't care. Okay. They don't care. They don't care. I didn't even, right. I wasn't here for the original story, meaning there's nothing on the record that involves me commenting when the story first broke. Do you know how many tweets I got? About like, oh, you said that it was a white guy. What happened? I was on vacation. That's what happened. I haven't commented on the story yet. They're not watching this. They don't care what the facts are. They don't care whether we're fair. They don't care about any of it, which is why I hate addressing them. They're hateful, bigoted losers. So let's move on and cover the news that matters.
Well, super last thing, I'm sorry. To use Jenks term. So also, I also got some of those points talking about Abe, but it was done by Black Thug Animals, right? So if you care about black violence, if you care about violence within certain communities because they said, you know, it was gang related or whatever they're saying it is, I don't even know the details of what they said, the reason why they were targeting someone else who they thought was in that car. If you care about tensions within certain communities, have you gone in to figure it out? Have you been a part of the solution? Do you care about the education system in our country? Do you care about people having more opportunities to not be in the situations where these types of violence arises? Do you know how any of it works? You know what else has been going on? There was a story maybe a week ago. Violent crime and gun violence has dropped in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Are they going to keep talking about that? Or are they going to keep going back to Chicago and say, hey, you just look at Chicago, your president likes to say. So when things are, and if you do look into it, do you know why things have changed? Mm-hmm. And are you a part of that solution? If you actually care, or do you just use those statistics and those crimes to validate your point to say you're better than someone else?
Yeah.
From the position that they're in.
Of course, because all they ever talk about is black culture. It's black culture's problem, right? I couldn't see through that racism. It was really well hidden. Okay, and by the way, our number one point in that original video was still holds, which is the problem is guns. And so I can't stand it when any race has guns and uses it for crime. I'm like, oh, black people use guns for crime. Oh, that's fine. I mean, but again, the right wing is so mental that they probably do think that we think that. How preposterous. No, that's why I don't want all those guns. I don't want it in gang members' hands. I don't want it in everybody's hands. We've got 250 million guns in the country now. And yes, people shoot them and kill people all the time. There are no drive-by hangings. There are no drive-by knifings, okay? They use guns to kill people. And again, this was guns that did it. And finally, I get it. It's not incumbent upon everyone to watch every video and every show we've ever done. But if you haven't, could you just cool it for a second and see what we actually do on the show? And this applies to the right and the left. The other day, somebody's like, oh yeah, why wouldn't you give Tulsi Gabbard credit for coming out against PAYGO? We broke the news. We literally were the first ones to say that on air.
Oh my God.
Okay, so look, I got last tip for you guys. TYT.com/join. Become a member, then you won't miss any of the show. at least your critique could be constructive.
And accurate.
And accurate if you actually watch the show. All right, but anyway, again, thrilled that there's justice in this case. Thank you to Sean King and the cops and everyone involved. But let's not lose track of the fact that Jasmine Parnes' life was lost. And it's an absolute tragedy, another tragedy in America because of our runaway gun violence. And they're doing on Tuesday, Justice for Jasmine Parnes community rally. And everybody needs to go to that. It doesn't matter where the violence came from. The violence is real and has to be addressed.
We got to take a break. When we come back, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's interview with Anderson Cooper and the feedback that she's received from the right wing.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I'm gonna go to the member section, tyt.com/join to become a member. Get your comments read first. Frank says, we need to heal this sick reality. Thank you, TYT, for everything. Thank you, Frank. You make it possible. Megan says, there's nothing you can do to please these people. They don't care about the girl. They only care that they think they can make you look bad. 100%. Any of those right wingers being like, oh my God, you know, I was heartbroken over what happened to Jasmine Parnes, and I'm so glad they found the real suspects. That would require humanity. Anyway, Harley X says, Sean King does great work. You know how I know that? He's always attacked by the right. By the way, Sean King, we don't often talk about it, but was a TYT.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Contributor for a long time, and partly again paid by the audience is through that investigative reporting package that we put together. And then he went on to do other things. But thank you for making that possible. All of our members are amazing, and all the people that contributed to that program are amazing. And speaking of which, another former TYT contributor is Nomi Konst, and she's running for public advocate. I'm gonna tell you guys in the next break where you can go see her and me. I'm gonna go do a people's fundraiser for her in New York when I'm in New York on January 16th. So please don't miss that. And then, oh, there it is. Wednesday, January 16th, 7 to 10 p.m. Go to bit.ly/TYT4Nomiki. Four is the number four, TYT4Nomiki, because you got to reserve ahead of time and you got to do it right now because it's going to fill up and we're going to be done. And if you live in New York, your donations are matched sixfold, okay? So if you give $27, that's what it takes to go to the fundraiser. The New York Times advice. No, I'm sorry, by eight. So that's awesome, okay? So please participate. I look forward to seeing you guys there. And by the way, you can give more than $27, but it's just $27, not $5,000 like other fundraisers to RSVP. Me and Nomi will see you there. Okay, Dark King Zora on Twitter says they don't want to hear about black victims, so they're quick to pick about any situation to call out situations like this. Totally true. Last one, YouTube Super Chat says, sending well-deserved love to you guys. Thank you for all that you do. That's Sawyer Progressive. Thank you. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Over the weekend, Anderson Cooper interviewed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on 60 Minutes, and they touched on a number of topics. Just kidding, no, they mostly talked about taxes because that seems to be what rich people like Anderson Cooper care a lot about. And they talked about taxes in the context of a number of policy issues that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has brought to the table. One of those policy ideas is the Green New Deal, something that actually has overwhelming support according to the polls, as long as you take the partisan component out of it. Now, here's what Anderson Cooper had to ask about it. He wanted to see what Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, what inspired her to basically protest in Nancy Pelosi's office? He asked, or he said, I should say, Nancy Pelosi is incredibly powerful and you're occupying her office. Well, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez responded back with, quote, I kept kind of just coming back to the idea that what they're fighting for wasn't wrong. And I had also sat down with Leader Pelosi beforehand, and she told me her story. She came from activism, and I knew that she would absolutely understand how advocacy can change the needle on really important issues. I thought that was a really great answer, and it also gave us some insight into, you know, how she's fighting within the Democratic Party, but how she's strategizing on ways to negotiate and work with other lawmakers. So I thought that was a great answer.
It far more polite than I would have been.
She handled it perfectly, I think. Because what do you want her to do? Like punch him in the face?
No. That's for me. That's not for her.
Yeah.
No, I'm not criticizing her at all. I'm saying she handled it wonderfully. I'm just saying, like, to me, Nancy Pelosi comes from activism. I mean, if you say so, right? But did Nancy Pelosi appreciate that she was being protested in front of her office? No, she didn't. Yeah, I'm just guessing, but my guess is she didn't. And so, but I think Ocasio-Cortez has just the right strategy. Why? You don't have to be as brusque as me. That's for the show. That's not necessarily for Congress, right? But when push comes to shove and there's votes, Ocasio-Cortez was strong enough to stand up to Nancy Pelosi and vote no on PAYGO. Mm-hmm. So, God bless.
So the conversation about the Green New Deal continued. Anderson Cooper says the following, you're talking about zero carbon emissions, no use of fossil fuels within 12 years. How is that possible? Are you talking about everybody having to drive an electric car? At that point, Representative Ocasio-Cortez responds with, it's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capabilities to the furthest extent possible? And at that point, Anderson Cooper brings up the issue of taxes. This would require, though, raising taxes. Do you have a specific on the tax rate? And this is a part of the interview that was released prior to the full interview being broadcast. And so we've talked about it before, but here's what she had said. She said, you look at our tax rates back in the 60s, and when you have a progressive tax rate system, your tax rate, you know, let's say from zero to $75,000, maybe 10% or 15%, et cetera. But once you get to the tippy tops on your 10 millionth dollar, sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%. That doesn't mean all 10 million are taxed at an extremely high rate, but it means that as you climb up this ladder, you should be contributing more. So that is where she talks about the marginal tax rate, increasing the marginal tax rate in order to pay for some of the policy ideas that she is pushing for.
Okay, it's perfectly rational. It's what we had in this country from the 1940s to the 1970s, top economic time in American history, in fact, in world history. So those rates work, it's a fact. People have conveniently forgotten that fact, whether they're journalists or right wingers or even the Democratic Party. So all of our answers again make perfect sense. But I'm just gonna quick note on Anderson Cooper's framing. So Nancy Pelosi is powerful, but you're occupying her office. What do you mean, but? right? So look, none of these are egregious. It's not like there's been far, far worse in the media.
No, I mean, it's pretty egregious. What's implied there is egregious. What's implied there is, how dare you stand up to someone in a position of power? Which, by the way, is, if you believe in that framing and you believe that it's a terrible thing to stand up to someone in a position of power, then you don't really believe in a democratic process. You don't believe in leadership. You don't believe in new ideas or challenging old ideas.
Yeah, she could have said, I was just keeping him honest.
But for one segment, though.
Just for one segment. Anyway, and then the more important issue is the framing of, well, how in the world are you going to do the Green New Deal? I mean, imagine when Kennedy came out. And by the way, I'm sure that reporters did do this when Kennedy came out and said, we're going to go to the moon. You're going to go to the moon in that short period of time. How are you going to go to the moon? With a spaceship? Yeah, that's how we're going to go to the moon. And that's how we did go to the moon. And so we got to push ourselves. The question, and we do, actually, we do push the very outer limits of what is possible in our government when we cut tax rates for the rich by $2 trillion. That brings our government to a breaking point, but everybody thinks that's perfectly normal. And nobody goes around going, how are you going to do that? My God, that's going to rob the American people of $2 trillion in tax revenue. It's going to destroy the budget, et cetera. How are you going to do that? No, they just do it. They just do it. They don't care about the budget. They don't care about the deficit. Mm-hmm. And Anderson Cooper never looks at him like, whoa, how would you do that? You would do it by actually trying. When you try to take care of the rich or the defense contractors, it turns out you can start 17-year wars in the Middle East. It turns out you can start wars in a dozen countries. And nobody goes, how are you going to bomb 12 different countries at once?
So I know I risk making this conversation go way longer than it needs to. But this is a commentary more about the media and the obsession with remaining neutral, right? Does Anderson Cooper really think that by pretending to be objective, we don't know what his biases are? Like, his biases are all over the place when it comes to this particular interview, right? So it's evident in the way that he covered the proposed tax cuts for the wealthy. It's evident in the way he frames his questions in this interview. Your biases are out there. We see them. So please spare me this nonsense about, like, I'm a journalist and I want to remain objective. Objectivity is incredibly important. But what you do is neutrality. And then even while you do that, it's abundantly clear where your political philosophy lies.
And where your assumptions lie.
Right.
Your assumption is that no progressive priority is worthwhile and should not be attempted. But every Republican policy, no matter how disastrous it is sensible and pragmatic. And it's not to say that there shouldn't be any debate about it, but you don't find it outlandish. You find it perfectly normal and acceptable. And in Washington, it has been, because Washington, unlike the rest of the country, has been massively right wing. Why do you think you're interviewing Ocasio-Cortez? Why do you think she's so popular? It's because the overwhelming majority of the country that's progressive, that's about 60% of the country, look at a poll, okay, goes, oh, thank God, finally somebody on our side. Finally, someone on our side that's allowed on television.
Right. All right, well, let's have some fun. Because while Anderson Cooper tries to hold back from sharing what his biases are, there are right wingers who do not hold back. And Ed Rollins, a Trump supporter, is one of those people. Now, on a recent interview on Fox Business, Rollins couldn't help himself when it came to insulting both Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib. Take a look.
Some really interesting people and some very smart people. If you're going to put her out front with her mouth, which she now has attention that she's never had before, and you're going to put the little girl who wants to do pre-Reagan economics of 70% taxes, the Democrat women are going to basically be damaged bad.
Wow. I mean, which one's worse, Anna? That little girl or with her mouth?
Well, I mean, they're both pretty bad. Let's keep it real. But it's also I find it kind of funny because he's so oblivious to what the reality is. So when I saw that video over the weekend, I tweeted something about how it's fun to see the extinction of dinosaurs in real time. Mm-hmm. Because he's insulting Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's intelligence. He's a Trump supporter. He's a Trump supporter, okay? So that's it. That's all I need to say.
Intelligence.
It's over.
Intelligence.
We're done. And then
you support the dumbest guy who's ever been in office. You know, the stealth fighter, it's invisible. You can't see it. You know, the clean coal, you take it out and you wash it. You support an absolute moron. Nobody knew healthcare was this complicated. Did you know Puerto Rico is surrounded by water because it's an island? Okay, you want to talk about, oh, come on. And then, like, his second thing he's oblivious to is that that's not gonna play well when you go, oh, that little girl with her running her mouth like that. I mean, to be fair, he's on Fox, so that does play well on Fox. And he's talking to Lou Dobbs, who's like, yes, that's right. Those women should shut their mouths, shouldn't they, Ed? Right? That's why we love Trump. I know, I got it, guys, I got it. And but to me, actually, the third part of why he's wrong is the most important, which is the substantive thing. Which is, she's like, oh, we're going to go back to the pre-Reagan years. Ed, do you know any history at all? I mean, you support a moron, so I'm not surprised that you also know nothing. Pre-Reagan years were the years that you guys all claim were the best times in America. Oh, the good old 1950s, that's what every conservative says. Make America great again, right? The pre-Reagan years was when America had the biggest economic boom that any country has ever had in the history of the world. And during that entire time, the top marginal tax rate was between 70 to 91%. Learn some history, you dotard.
Well, Rawlins wasn't the only person who went after Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. In fact, Fox and Friends felt that this insanely high tax rate would be a disincentive to work. Take a look.
Taxed at 90%, why bother?
Did the gentleman refer to a fair share?
Yes.
A fair share is 90% for the government and maybe 10% kept by you.
Well, what's the incentive of working hard? And don't the people who contribute that much to society and are creating the big businesses, aren't they helping our economy?
It would be very bad news for America's economy. You don't want the government coming in and saying, well, you've made too much. You're too aggressive. You're too successful. We're going to take 90% off you. That's ridiculous.
Or they just won't do anything. The most successful people will pull back and say, I don't have to do anything. I have to create any more jobs, start any more businesses, and I'm going to pull back.
That is precisely what will happen.
So I just want to remind you guys, and most of you already know this, but just in case, look, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is talking about a marginal tax rate, right? So the amount of money that would be taxed after an insanely amount of insane amount of money. So let's say you've already brought in $10 million that year. Anything over $10 million would be taxed at that marginal tax rate. It does not mean that 90% of someone's income would be taken away by the federal government. It would not work that way. But of course, they very conveniently left that out of the conversation.
Well, I mean, there's a number of reasons. First of all, they talk about 90%. She never said 90%. She said 60 to 70%. Okay, so then everybody in the media made it 70%, even though she said 60 to 70. And then Fox News comes in and goes, oh, that's inconvenient. Let's just call it 90. Why don't you just call it 90?
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Nine while you're at it, okay, as long as you're making up numbers, because she didn't say that. And you know, the president that had it at 91% was Eisenhower. He was a Republican. So again, they don't know anything. Steve Doocy, later in the interview, in that discussion, said, well, then that'll teach people, man, don't make $10 million. That's the lesson to be learned here, because that's when it would kick in. Again, you schmuck.
I wish I had that problem.
I know, first of all, that'd be great, right?
You know, I was gonna bring in more than $10 million this year, but I decided not to because, you know, I'm gonna get taxed very high at that marginal tax rate.
But Steve Doocy literally doesn't understand what a marginal tax rate is. He thinks once you hit 10 million, it goes back and taxes everything at 60 to 70%, including the whole 10 million. No, the whole 10 million is at a lower tax rate. The 10 million and first dollar is taxed at 60 to 70%. He's like, oh, well, you don't want to hit 10 million. No, yes, you do. First of all, it's 10 million. Second of all, the next dollar would be taxed at the higher rate. Okay, but they're ignorant on Fox News. That's not breaking news, to be honest, right? But the core of what they're saying, again, is monumentally wrong. They're saying, oh, well, then these Ubermensch, these legendary business people with all their incredible talent that they have bestowed upon us, upon the lesser people like you, well, they would just take their talent and go home.
And how, where?
And how would they make money then? Warren Buffett has addressed this. Warren Buffett, quite the capitalist, okay, has made a lot of money. He said, anyone who tells you that they won't work if there's a higher tax rate is the worst businessman there is. Because we're all here to make money. It doesn't, like, not to say that it doesn't matter what the tax rate is, but we're all gonna show up to make money anyway, of course. You know what you would be if you said, oh, you know, it was a 52% would have been fine, but at 53%, I'm going home. You know what you are then? You're a bum. You're not an entrepreneur. You're not a business person, okay? And then furthermore, the reason why the economy did so well back then was partly because what did you do? You created an incentive to reinvest in your business. You take the money out, it gets taxed at 70%. You keep the money in your business, it doesn't get taxed at all. You reinvest it. You get new machines, you get new equipment, you hire more people, and your business grows and grows, and the economy grows and grows.
No, no, no.
But if you have a lower tax rate, you've created an incentive not to do wealth creation, but to do wealth extraction. So you take the money out of the businesses, you put it in savings, that's good for you, bless your heart for doing savings, but it does not go back into the economy, and it does not go back into your businesses, and the economy does worse.
Wait, but I thought that a higher marginal tax rate would destroy the economy. Where does the destruction come in?
Well, if it would have destroyed the economy, how come it didn't destroy the economy in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s? It's just not true. It's not historically true. It's not factually true. That's why it's on Fox News.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's one final part of this that I want to talk about. Representative Steve Scalise was on Fox News, and he was talking about a Twitter debate that he was engaging in with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez over the issue of taxes. Now, AOC wants a higher marginal tax rate. A Republican like Scalise has no interest in that. And apparently, while they were going back and forth, some people on Twitter, this is crazy, I don't know if anyone else has ever experienced this, were rude to Representative Scalise.
No, on Twitter?
They said mean things to him.
That's gotta be a first.
They were very mean.
Hey, we broke that story here first.
We did. I mean, okay. I can't even believe it. Now, I don't wanna put words in Representative Scalise's mouth, so why don't we hear from him on Fox News?
Well, you know, I was just trying to have a little fun debate about this. I mean, it's an important issue. I strongly disagree with this idea that you should just confiscate all the money or most of the money that people make and try to get into this class warfare debate. By the way, our tax rates, the fact that we cut taxes, is creating jobs. It's helping rebuild our middle class, those very hardworking families. And, you know, once we started getting into this Twitter back and forth, a lot of her followers started making some very inappropriate references and comments. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to have this debate here.
Yeah, and
I'll have it with you on the House floor.
Oh, my God. Inappropriate comments on Twitter. Wow. Hey, you know what? I'd like to apologize on behalf of all progressives, Steve Scalise. I didn't know there were inappropriate things going on Twitter. And next thing you know, you tell me that the other parts of the internet also have inappropriate things.
It's weird. I've never heard of people being mean online. Anyway, he elaborates though. I want to go to the next clip.
Everybody knows you were shot, almost killed. Miraculous story that you weren't, thank goodness. And all of a sudden these followers are saying they're going to snipe you. So you got threats. Did she call you, contact you in any way?
No, I haven't heard from her yet.
And do you think it's inappropriate that she didn't?
Well, I'd like to see her stand up to this. Everybody ought to stand up to this kind of discussion. If somebody wants to have a debate about policy, that's what we're all about. That's what the First Amendment's all about. But you shouldn't threaten people. And if you got to threaten people to make your point, you've already lost.
And when it comes to followers, you could stand up to that.
Yeah, no, you know what? I love the new Scalise rule because it just eliminated the entire right wing online. If you make a threat, you've already lost the battle. Great, all of you pack it up and go home. Because the right wing, apparently Scalise, I don't know if he really genuinely doesn't know because he's new to the internet or if he's pretending not to know. The right wing makes threats nonstop on Twitter.
No, but
nonstop.
Okay, look. Okay. I obviously don't agree with the threats that people put out there on Twitter. The reason why I have the reaction that I do to this story is because I'm alive and I experience this every single day. And look, to be fair to Representative Scalise, there is a possibility that he's new to this, right? Because look, I think back to the hearings that lawmakers had with the Google CEO, and the questions that they asked him included, you know, I Googled our attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act and there were nothing but negative articles written about me. What happened? Right? Like, they just couldn't believe it, that there were negative comments, articles, whatever out there. So who knows? Maybe Representative Scalise falls under that umbrella. But you want Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez to call you and do what? To apologize on behalf of Twitter trolls that are attacking you? What about the Twitter trolls that attack her? What about the right-wing Twitter trolls that are on your side who decided to attack her in the middle of your debate about tax policy? Are you gonna call her and apologize? Is it gonna be an apology fest about randos on Twitter? What's wrong with you guys?
Randos on Twitter. Okay, in which case, I guess we're gonna have to have an apology tour by the Republicans.
It's crazy.
Every single Republican in the country owes me an apology, owes me a call. To not because they all attacked me, but their followers have all attacked me. So, I'd give you my number,
no,
but I wouldn't.
No. Don't call me. Don't apologize. I don't want to hear from you. Again, I live in the year 2019. I understand how social media works. But one final thing I just wanted to quickly add is, look, you've lost the argument when you've immediately gone from actually debating the tax policy to, you know, talking about your, you know, your experience getting shot. Okay, why did they need to deflect to that, right?
Yeah,
like, I feel like it was a crutch, and it was incredibly lame to do that.
Yeah, it was the ace in the hole, right? So they're like, okay, the economic times were better in the 1950s and 60s when the tax rate was 70 to 91%. On the other hand, I got shot. Okay.
Yeah. It was
now
weird.
Look, Steve Scalise getting shot was terrible. And we said that on the show a million times. It's part of the gun violence epidemic in this country. We actually want to do something about it. Steve Scalise doesn't. He thinks, oh no, that's great. We should have guns everywhere so that anybody, right wing, left wing, etc., can just grab a gun and shoot whoever they don't like. I believe that's slightly worse than what happens on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Second of all, if you're going to talk about crazy people on Twitter, just look at MAGA, look at the right wing. It is filled with vitriol.
Look at Trump. Look at Trump. I mean, he tweets out videos where he's body slamming CNN. Look at Trump's various speeches. In one speech, he was giving kudos to a lawmaker who body slammed a reporter. Like, you really want to, I mean, you want to talk about people putting threats out on Twitter or putting violent rhetoric out on Twitter? Come on.
Trump calls the press the enemy of the people. Enemy of the people are people you're supposed to attack, right? I mean, but again, if you're talking about randos on Twitter, as Anna put it, the right wing is 1,000 times more guilty. It's not to say that nobody on the left wing does anything bad, but are you kidding me? If we're measuring who's doing worse things and who's doing more threats, and the right wing wins that war by a landslide. Look, we did a random story here. We're like, this, all this talk of death threats, and like Susan Collins was like, oh my God, it turns out people didn't like that I voted on yes on Kavanaugh. And people said mean things about me online. Really, Sherlock, you figure that out. And so because of that, we once did a video, we're like, look, let's just take the first 2 pages of a random video we did on YouTube and see how many death threats there are. There was 6 death threats in just the first 2 pages, but comments went on for thousands of other comments. Look at any random video that we've done and you'll find death threat after death threat after death threat. So when these guys are like, somebody said that I was a jerk, why hasn't she apologized to me? Are you kidding me? Look at what the monsters on your side do every single day online. And then please go find a safe space and go cry over there. I'm sorry, her Twitter followers, to be fair, should have given you a little bit of a warning against their microaggressions, because I know you care a lot about that.
They're pretty big aggressions though on Twitter. Anyway, all right, we gotta take a break. When we come back, we're gonna give you an update on what's happening with the government shutdown, including Trump's declarations that he can really relate to these federal workers.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at TYT.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment.
All right, we're back on the Young Turks. Member comments first. Kosick writes, and Anderson Cooper is a conservative tool. His framing is dishonest and his dignity is lacking.
Thank you for keeping him honest.
Okay, well, Kosick, there you go. Ryan writes in, these are all members, tyt.com/join to become a member. The fact that Pelosi has so much power is the reason to occupy her office. How else are you gonna get anything changed if you don't reach the most powerful people in Washington? Mm-hmm. But on CNN, CBS, etc., status quo is awesome. Don't rock the boat. It's our boat. Okay, smooth. I feel like Claire McCaskill has been the voice of Pelosi and the conservative liberals in Congress. They all want people to bow their head and get in line. Totally agreed. Let's go to Twitter. We're going to go to Santos Huante here. AOC was echoing climate scientists' urgent need for rapid adjustments to our society and the way we consume and live. The environment is not going to care what tax bracket you are in. So it is, Santos, thank you for writing that in, because it's a great point that she's like, I agree with 99% of the world's scientists. And Anderson Cooper's like, really? Well, I do declare. Okay. Someone else wrote in about how quickly computers evolved. Laura Gelizunas said, think about that. If we try, maybe things could develop fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. If we don't try, nothing will happen. Okay. E.F. Husso writes in, I like that name, Husso. Okay. These elites, including the news actors, are so upset that the money they earn over $10 million should be taxed higher, should just follow their own advice and get a second job and do a better job of saving money.
You guys, but like, just think about this for a second, okay? $10 million, like you've made $10 million that year. Like you're good, you're good. Even if you stop at 10 million, if you stop at a million, if you stop at $500,000, okay, you're good. But like you can't pay a little extra in taxes after making $10 million in a given year?
Per year. I'd be done after 1 year.
No, but you'd stop working, Jake. You'd have no incentive to work anymore.
Right? Anyway, last one. Tana Casol writes in on Twitter, hashtag TYT live on Twitter to talk to us. You're telling me that overpaid CEOs don't actually produce anything but profit off the labor and talent of others, are going to quit if they stop getting free money? Sold. I hadn't thought of it that way. Is that the way we get him to quit? Okay, it's an interesting idea. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. We are currently on the 16th day of a partial government shutdown. In fact, by Friday, most government workers will miss out on their first full paycheck. Now, about half of the 800,000 federal workers are furloughed. The other half are considered essential workers, so they're forced to work without pay, and they are likely to get paid once the government reopens. But Trump doesn't really see this as much of an issue. Now, he claims that he can relate to the federal workers. But he also continues to argue that they're all on his side when it comes to this ridiculous debate over funding for the border wall. Take a look.
I can relate, and I'm sure that the people that are on the receiving end will make adjustment. They always do. I think they will make an adjustment because they want to see the border taken care of. They will make adjustment. People understand exactly what's going on. Those people are great Americans. They're great patriots. They want to make sure we have a strong border. You know, government workers want to see the border taken care of. It affects them very dearly.
But most of them make $500 a week.
They love our country, and they want to make sure that we have a strong border. But many of those people that won't be receiving a paycheck, many of those people agree 100% with what I'm doing.
Many of those people, maybe even most of those people, that really have not been and will not be getting their money in at this moment, those people, in many cases, are the biggest fan of what we're doing.
No, they're not. They are not the biggest fans of what he's doing. In fact, many of them are now either calling in sick. TSA workers in record numbers are calling in sick. And I mean, this has been a complete and utter disaster for them because remember, the government shutdown began during the holidays. So he decided to undergo this ridiculous showdown as the holidays are happening. And now by Friday, many of them will miss out on their first full paycheck. They're not living, you know, these lavish lifestyles. They're not wealthy. They didn't inherit $413 million from Papa like Donald Trump did. So no, Trump cannot relate to them. These are Americans who, in a lot of cases, were already struggling financially, and the situation has made it a lot worse.
So first of all, we don't even have to debate it. There's already a survey done of federal workers. 71% were opposed to the shutdown. So maybe even most of them. No, not most of them. Most of them were opposed, and that's before they started missing paychecks. And that's before you made 420,000 people show up to work and then not get paid. And at that point already 71% were like, hell no, no, we don't want a government shutdown. So as usual, Donald Trump making things up, just pulling facts right out of you know where. And so he's a liar. I don't know, we say it every day, but we gotta keep saying it every day. So we have a president who just doesn't care about the truth, doesn't care, not and like, and his followers don't care. You think they think that most government workers are diehard Trump fans and they love having to go to work and not getting paid? Nobody believes that. Not even the dumbest MAGA guy believes that, right? They're like, oh yeah, the president's lying again. I love when people lie. Yeah. Okay, you're on that team. God help you.
So one of the government agencies that's been impacted by this is the IRS. And it's the beginning of the year, which means people are getting ready to file their taxes. And they're looking forward in some cases to a tax refund. And they're unlikely to get it on time. And so Trump was asked about that as well. And you know what he said? He's like, no, don't worry. Everyone's gonna get their tax refunds on time. It's not a big, but can you elaborate?
Not.
How? I mean, this is a government agency that's been impacted by your government shutdown, which you yourself claimed could go on for months, even years. Okay, yeah. So how? Please explain that to us.
Yeah, and here's where it's really gonna hit the fan. SNAP does not have enough money in its coffers for a whole month. They have $3 billion in emergency reserves. A normal month is $4.8 billion because 19 million families are on SNAP. SNAP is basically food stamps. Now, most of those folks are white. And so now the only reason I bring up race is because in the rest of the media, they give off the impression that most of the people receiving food stamps or welfare are black. That is just not true. That is another alternative fact. And a lot of uneducated whites in this country, unfortunately, voted for Trump. So now they might say, get your government hands off my Medicare, because they're ignorant. They don't realize that Medicare is the government. But when your food stamps don't arrive, and look, I actually, unlike Trump, I have great sympathy for them. Even though they're knuckleheads and they voted the wrong way, if they're in that specific demographic that voted for Trump. But I don't want their kids to go hungry. I'm not punitive like the Republicans. But when all of a sudden you don't have your food stamp, they're gonna be really mad. They're gonna be like, wait a minute, I didn't know you were gonna cut my food stamps. I thought you were gonna cut maybe some parks and museums and things from black people. You're cutting things from me? Yeah, there are no white food stamps and black food stamps. They're gonna cut all food stamps if they get to a point in the month where they don't have any more money. See, that's why I don't believe in partial government shutdowns. I think they're actually really damaging to the concept of government, because it gives people the impression that the only thing the government does is run the parks. So no, if you actually shut down the government, there'd be no TSA. Nobody could travel anywhere.
Right.
Okay, and there'd be no military. No military, we'd never have a government shutdown.
Okay, I have to jump in. of course it's not true that the only thing the government does is run the parks. But even if it were true, like that's a huge tragedy to have that shut down. Like it really is. And we're experiencing that tragedy right now with all of our national parks essentially getting destroyed by people, you know, with their human waste and their littering and all that stuff. And there's no one there to clean it up.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah. But you
the
make a
cops,
good point.
The cops are also the government. You know, you love you. Oh, Blue Lives Matter. That's the government. Fire department. That's the government. You want to shut down the fire department? No, the government is essential, and you don't realize it. So the minute it starts to affect them, whether they don't get the tax refunds or the food stamps, etc., they're gonna go, "What is this?" Because you're underestimating how ignorant Trump voters are. They don't know anything. That's why they voted for Donald Trump. They know nothing. So when it affects them, they're gonna be like, What is this? Who did this? Right? Mm-hmm. So and already nobody wants to shut the government down over the wall. That's another poll we know for a fact. Only 25% of Americans support that. 75% of Americans say do not shut the government down over the stupid wall. So he's nonstop lying. But to me, actually, those lies are clear, but we have to have debates over them. Okay. But to me, the worst part was, yeah, of course I could relate to them. They'll make adjustments. Well, to be fair, Donald Trump did make an adjustment. He started getting $200,000 a year from his dad at the age of 3. And then he adjusted at the age of 4 to get another $200,000, and at 5 another $200,000, until he got all the way up to $413 million given to him by his daddy. And so when he went bankrupt the first time, he made the adjustment of getting more money from his dad. The second time, more money from his dad. The sixth time, more money from his dad. Look at all those adjustments that he made. To say that he could relate to somebody who gets $500 a week, but he doesn't have an ounce of compassion or empathy. So he dismisses it like they'll make adjustments. They're 100% on my side. You're sickening. You're a liar. You're unbearable. And your lack of empathy for any other human being is repulsive.
I think it's important to hear from some of these government workers as well. So we did a little research to find some videos of them kind of sharing their stories. We're gonna quickly go through these videos. The first one features a TSA agent who's working with no pay.
It creates a big distraction. You know, our primary focus is on security, and we have to be, you know, 100% focused on that. And having to think about where your next paycheck is going to come from, or if it's going to come at all, is a huge distraction for everybody. So I'm sure at some level it takes our edge away.
There you have it. A TSA agent doesn't seem like he's particularly happy about what's going on, and doesn't seem like he's happy about making adjustments. Here is a furloughed IRS agent.
I sat up like till 3 o'clock last night trying to figure out, well, what's getting ready to come out next week? I can't let that come out next week because all else fails, the mortgage has to be paid. The heat has to stay on. I'm not in any danger, but right now, I don't know what February, are we going into February? Then that changes the game altogether.
So a lot of financial instability for these government workers because of what's happening. And then finally, one more federal worker on CNN who's explaining that she's not expecting a paycheck on Friday. And she doesn't even know who she would turn her hours into, who to turn them to in order to get paid. Take a look.
The pay period of the 16th through the 31st, I had 63 hours that we did work before the shutdown, and I have not been able to submit my timesheet that I know of because there's no one to approve it in the office where I work.
But remember, guys, Trump can relate to them, and they'll make adjustments. It's not that big of a deal.
Although there's a part of that story that I'm amused by because remember, they're broken down into essential government workers and non-essential, which has already been insulting. But of the 800,000, 420,000 are considered essential. Apparently, she's among them, the last person that you saw there. But her boss is not. Because she doesn't have anybody to turn it into. She's like, well, I got to work, but my boss is so non-essential, he's not here. Or she's not here, I don't know. Anyway, now putting that aside, there's a reason why a lot of people have stopped showing up to work. For example, 170 TSA agents have not gone into work at JFK. And now that is spreading to more and more airports. Dallas-Fort Worth is having a significant problem. People not showing up to work is up to 200 to 300% among TSA agents. And of course, what's the right wing gonna say? Oh, bums, they won't come into work. They won't come into work for free, that's interesting. Okay, now they might or might not get their check later. We hope that they do get it, but that's not why they're not coming in. And I have to confess that I didn't get it until I was reading, of all things, a Wall Street Journal article. And the main reason they're not coming in is because they don't have money, so they have to go get another job. So for example, Robert Suter, who's 36, is a market analyst for the Office of Natural Resources. He's a market analyst. You know what he's doing right now? Driving an Uber. Because he's got to get food for his family. So he's like, I can't show up to work because I got to work for a living. So
it's crazy. It really is.
And so I knew that people were going to struggle, obviously. Like, and we talked about it endlessly on the show. But I didn't think about the second part, which is a lot of people are not coming in because they can't afford the babysitter anymore. So then they got to take care of their kids because they can't. They have no money for the babysitter.
Yep.
Or they have no money for daycare or preschool. They don't have any. So because they don't have a check, they don't have a check. Remember, we've told you this a lot on the program because no one else will tell you, okay? 40% of Americans cannot withstand a $400 blow to their finances. They'll have to sell things off or go into debt, okay? Because we don't have any money saved up because our wages are disastrously low, right? So that's why they're going to have to drive Ubers and can't afford the babysitters, etc. And now, the right wing, of course, then turn around and blame them, right? No, but they didn't cause the problem. You know who did? Donald Trump said it when he was in the White House with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. He said, I'll shut the government down. It'll be the Trump shutdown, and I'll do it to get the wall, which only a quarter of the country wants. Three quarters don't want to shut down over the wall. So as usual, he defies the will of the American people over and over again and hurts so many Americans in the process. All for his own ego. Even if he got the $5 billion for the wall, it'd be a tiny percentage of the money that he needs for the overall wall, which he's never gonna get. It's all symbolic, it's all for his ego.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Trump has changed some of his rhetoric when it comes to the border wall, and we'll tell you how. And later on in the show, we actually have some really great news coming out of Tennessee. It has to do with clemency, and I can't wait to talk about it. So stick around, we'll give you that and more.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.